Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Let's go to the second thing, the call to non-dependency. I was on the guys. Girls, can we talk a little bit? And we're like almost out of time, so I'm not even going to beat up on it that much because I don't have time to. But is it cool if we move a little bit? Let me finish up some thoughts with the men, and then we'll move to the ladies. So non-dependency, because he says you don't want to be dependent on anybody in that verse, right? What is good dependence for a man or woman? You guys want to talk a little bit about that?
Dependence on God.
That's good dependence, right? Dependence on God, absolutely. Some other descriptors for good dependence between a man and woman.
Accountability.
Yeah, accountability. Sure, in a marriage, right? Interdependence in a marriage, accountability in a marriage, yup. What are some other good ways? Or what's bad independence? We could say it that way.
Bad dependence.
What's bad independence for a man or a woman?
Spiritual
independence, like, yeah, you get, yeah, that's a great one, Cassin. You get those, like, mavericks in the church, like, I don't need to go to church. I got my Bible, I'm fine. I got my Bible, I got my YouTube, I'm fine. No, no, that's bad independence. You need to be part of the church. What's another bad independence for a woman?
Dependence on self.
Dependence on self?
Like, so much to a point. Like, being dependent is good, but depending solely on self and basically making a guy feel like he has...
Yeah, you're totally right, Meg. The modern feminist movement, it's like, I'm woman, hear me roar, I don't need a man. Okay. Like, look at our culture now. Take it, that's what you get. There should be an interdependence between men and women. And so a woman is completely independent. Bad, that's not good. What is good independence, though, for a man or a woman? What's good independence?
Their own walk.
What's that?
Like their own walk with Christ.
Yeah, explain that a little.
Like not depending on, like, your husband to feed you.
Like, right.
All the time. Like, you need to have your walk with Christ and your... pursuing Christ together, but you both need to be growing vertically.
Great example. Yeah. You don't only pray when he prays with you. You pray on your own. You read the word on your own. You're a student of the word on your own. What's other good independence for a man or woman?
Not neediness.
Not neediness, which you're going to get to, yeah. So you see what I'm saying? There's a difference between those kinds of dependence and independence. There's good versions, there's bad versions. So my question is this, based on what we talked about today, and we don't have time. 2 Thessalonians 3, which we did last month, or last over the summer when we did 2 Thessalonians, because we've been working backwards. What Billy said, or no, Cassin said it, I think. If a man does not work, he will not what? He shall not eat. If man does not work, he shall not eat. And they're like, warn that dude. If he's not working, he's being a busybody. Don't accept that kind of behavior. So with all that in mind, here's a question for you. Is the self-made man, have you ever heard that phrase? Self-made man, or in America we call it rugged individualism, that's another phrase. Is that bad?
No.
No, it's not, right? The self-made man, good. Rugged individualism, good. All that stuff is good. The American identity, I don't need anybody's help, I'll do it myself. Is that bad? No, that's good. It's a good work ethic. Do it yourself. I don't need the government. Pull yourself up. You hear those stories, guys pulling themselves out of poverty, right? That's independence. Entrepreneurship, making a living, that's great.
When you're talking about that phrase, you're talking economically, like work-wise.
Yes, work-wise. Remember, I started this off by saying there's bad independence and good. This would be the good economic independence. No, if you act like you don't need anybody in the church, like Cassin said or Billy said, that would be bad. So what's the problem? I know I said I'm moving to the wind, but real quick. Men not having a career, living off government programs to an unending way, what are some of the problems here? What becomes your reputation if that's you?
Laziness.
Burden.
A burden? Who said that? Yeah, a burden on everybody. Unproductive. Nothing to contribute. Already said that. What happens if a man or a woman, but especially men, if they're idle? They have an empty schedule.
More tendency to sin.
Idleness, does that stay idleness?
No, you're going to do something.
Yeah. So what do you see in inner cities where men aren't working?
Crime.
Oh, yeah. Satan loves this. Oh, we thought it was just economics. Give me a break. Oh, he's going to stop with idleness? He's going to stop with keeping these young men who I have such grief in my heart for? He's going to stop with just keeping them not working? No, no, no. He's going to get them into a lot more stuff than that. Way more sinister. Also, feminizes the masculine character that's intended to go out and subdue. Men, are they supposed to be cowardly or confident? Right? Don't be fearful. Go out, subdue, get it. Grab the world, get the job. It feminizes the masculine character not working because it's like, I'm too scared. I'm going to stay here. I'm sheltered. It's no good. And as I said, it dehumanizes a person that God wired. The downward spiral in our society of men not working, right, said to discuss, we've already kind of discussed it, and it leads to other social vices or problems in the whole civilization, crime and drugs and things like that, more coveting. And so I think you get the idea. So that would be bad dependency for a man. Good independence is a man who can carry himself and work for himself. Let's talk about ladies. How can you be overly dependent, ladies? Let's pause. That's a loaded question. Can we go to Proverbs 31? Before we start jumping and running at the mouth on the lady thing, let's get the Bible to instruct us. Why can I never find Proverbs? I'm telling the truth. Like, I'm like, Psalms, Job, Isaiah. There it is. Now, I talked with Tammy as I was working on the lady thing. So I'm like, honey, you gotta help me. I actually said, shepherd me. Shepherd my mind and heart on this, because I don't want to cross the line or say anything offensive. So I'll be careful if she needs to translate or help me along, she's going to jump in. But it's not intended to offend. I'm just trying to help, okay? Because ladies, I'm sorry to tell you, you're not sinless in this area. Are ladies sinless in the area of, here's the, what sin are we talking about? I'm talking about being overly dependent. Is that a problem for women? Oh, yeah. We need a little bit more, like, come on now, woman up. Like, you gotta, like, wipe off the tears, rub a little dirt on the cut, and woman up. Like, we got it. That's been destroyed in the culture. We need, like, Puritan pilgrim women that were getting it done, building a civilization. That's cool. Well, where's that in the Bible? Right here, Proverbs 31. Let's read it. Okay, look at this lady. A wife of noble character, who can find? I found one. Praise the Lord. I mean that. She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband, I love this, yes! Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Dude, am I worried when I leave the house? No way. I called my wife up the other day, quite frankly, I did. I tried, she didn't pick up. Then I forgot to text her. And in the middle of all of it, I'm like, I'm just not even showing up at home. She doesn't even know. And finally, after a while, I fired out a text over to her. Honey, my schedule totally changed. I'm like nowhere in the vicinity of being home right now. Ministry stuff, after work. And she was like, oh, it's cool. So what time are you getting home? I didn't exactly tell her that right away. She's like, what time are you getting home? And I told her, and she's like, all good. Got under control. Came home. Dinner was served. That's so sexist. Give me a break. That's awesome. She was awesome. Dinner was served. Kids were eating. I slipped right in, landed in my seat. And what was I able to do because she was so awesome? Work and ministry. I worked all day and then did gospel ministry, came home, life was good. Well, who can find that? I have full confidence in my wife. Love that. Lack nothing of value. Next verse. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Who's she thinking of? She's thinking of him. Love that. Ooh, is that MK? Yeah, sister, what's up, buddy? No, perfect timing. We love you. Come on in. So she's thinking of, oh, no problem. Love you, Matt. Later, buddy. Thanks for coming, man. We'll see you. Be safe out there. So I don't know if you heard Liz whisper it, but I said, who's she thinking of? And Liz said, him. Oh, so she's reading the five love languages and then finding out what shade of love she is and then going in with demands and how she's got to love him that way. Is that what she's doing?
And how she's got to love him that way?
And how she's got to give me a break. I said, oh, and how, whatever. She's not reading that book and is about as confused by it as I am. Because there's no love languages, and I'd like to meet that dude. I'm sure he's nice. Chuck the book, ladies. She's not worried about it. She loves him. She's thinking about him. It is so selfless, and it's so like God. Women, do they get to reflect God? Are you kidding me? Yes. Having a daughter made me realize even more how much reflection is going on of God in women, in little girls. Like where the little boys are dirty. We need something to reflect beauty. And then I had my little girls. Like, that's the beauty I was looking for reflected in creation. They're so cute. Man, so it's so like God, and she is so not self-absorbed and so not reading self-help books on her sad situation with the sorry sap that she married. She is serving that man, who she, in her mind, is a warrior, not because he always deserves it, but because God has told her, that man's your warrior. Now you take care of him like he is, even though he's not perfect. And God knows that. And anyway, rest assured, you've got a better warrior anyway. Don't you have a better groom? When your husband blows it, who's your best groom, ladies? Right, don't worry. You got a perfect groom, okay? She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Let's keep going. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bring her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Now who's she thinking about? Now she's thinking about her kids and her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. I love that. She doesn't just buy it. She's like, no, I need a better price. Like, she's haggling with the guy. That's so cool. She is totally competent. Considers a field, buys it out of her earnings. She must have made something. Capitalism's bad. I'm sorry. I love doing the voice. Sometimes I should. Like, are you serious? She made money first and then proceeded with another market transaction. Get a grip, man. These people that come at us with this stuff. Take your Bible and slice down their arguments, guys. I'm giving you the weapons. It's an arsenal. It says the sword of the Spirit. Don't be defeated. I'm not saying get in every Facebook war. I'm just saying don't get intimidated. And if they come at you, win. You've got the tools. Oh, really? Capitalism's bad? We do the Proverbs 31 woman. She made money and then took that and bought other stuff. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. I have so many things to input, but I don't want to be sarcastic. But, like, she's not freaking out about organic or non-organic. She just doesn't even have time to eat. Do you realize that? Does she care about her body or everybody else's? Everybody else's. Like, cool it with the food war. All right? I said it. It's over. I got past that point in the discussion. I was worried about it. But, like, cool it, man. The lady is concerned with a lot more than that, guys. Come on. A lot more deeper stuff. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. I could cry. Where is she getting the pat on the back for this? It's not there. It'll come a little bit at the end. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She's making clothes. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. This woman doesn't stop. She doesn't reflect Christ. Are you kidding me? When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. They're not just clothed, they're clothed well. She makes coverings for her bed. What do you mean the Bible degrades women? Are you kidding me? This woman is a hero. She's one of the most referenced heroes probably in history. The Proverbs 31 woman. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. And she doesn't look ratty either. She looks good for him when he comes home. She's got it all done. And she's wearing fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected. Do you notice that? She's doing all the work, and who gets the respect in this verse?
Her husband.
Why?
Because that's what God calls us to respect our husbands.
Yeah, and she's making him look good, and that reflects well on the home, that he's respected. I do get a lot of respect in the church, and a ton of it is due to her. Those kids, people come up, they're well-behaved, which is not always the case. As Mary-Kate knows, from an incident in nursery. That's Tammy. It comes to me, and I'm honored. And it comes from her. Her husband's respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's in the Bible so good. She's clothed, that's why we can't ever stop these studies, it's so good. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. Oh my goodness, is she needy? Is she worried? Is she reading like these emotional felt needs books? I don't even know what that word is, felt needs. Stop using that word. Have you ever heard that phrase? Felt needs. Quit giving your felt. This lady is full of strength. She's not worried about her felt needs and if they're being met. She's laughing at tomorrow. Like, what are you going to bring that these arms can't handle? Oh, so cool. She speaks with wisdom, faithful instructions on her tongue. She knows her Bible. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, I'm sorry. She doesn't have the time to Snapgram everything going on all day. I do that with my kids at school. It's a little joke I do. Switch the words like, ah, it's so funny. Like, but seriously, she doesn't have time to Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, every movement. Because if she did, she'd be wasting her time on who?
Herself.
And she is too absorbed with everybody else to waste time on that. She just doesn't have time. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. And her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, honey, but you surpass them all. Ah, she got her praise. She got it from her husband, her groom. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her, I love this conclusion, now you give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You recognize that woman, you reward that woman. Her treasure is in heaven and her recognition is on earth as well among men. So cool. Man, what is she not? Give me some descriptions. Now you talk.
Fragile.
She is not fragile. Did you read my notes? That was a word I used. She is not fragile.
Ultra dependent?
She's not ultra dependent. She's not, I mean, there's so much here. She's not fragile. An accidental phrase from somebody about whatever does not freak her out. She's not overly dependent. What else?
She's not nagging.
Oh, that is the word. Way to go, Liz. She is not nagging. She's cool. She's got it under control. Ladies, do not nag your husbands. You will kill him. You will kill him. I'm telling you, if every time there's an issue, you nag him, you will kill him. The Proverbs say he'll want to go sit on the outside corner of the roof. It is worse than a leaking faucet. It's in the Bible. It didn't make it up. What's that?
There's like a lot of Proverbs.
Oh, it's just like, you'll kill him. He will quit ministry. He will quit ministry. He will be useless. He'll be a couch potato. You'll turn him into a couch potato. You will nag him right onto that couch. He'll be like, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to hear it. I can't give myself to all these people. And to, obviously it's not the case, praise the Lord, because we're serving in the church. So I'm not speaking from experience. But I'm saying, you look, the vices that are active in each gender will come out. So yes, have Tammy and I worked through these things? My sins as well, my laziness, my failures as a leader and provider. Absolutely. Everybody struggles with these things. So I'm not saying we're sinless in these areas. But I'm saying the reason I can do the ministry I can is because Tam is so supportive and doesn't nag me over it. But you will kill a guy. He'll be like, forget it. It's not worth it. I'll go sit on the couch, watch TV. When you stop yammering, I'll get through the room real quick and go to bed. It'll kill. Yeah, what else is she not?
Super sensitive.
Not. Oh, did you read my notes?
No.
All right. Overly sensitive. She's not what, Aaron?
She,
I didn't mean
she,
what, Aaron. I meant what? No, it just came out like that. No, go ahead.
No, it says she considers a field in here, so she's not a fool. She's not to be easily deceived. So she can go into that business deal and be like, my wares are worth this.
Yeah.
And you're not going to chip me off. And they're like, well, obviously you know what you're worth. And then they're like, we got this nice field over here. She's like, no, you're overselling
me. I know. She's not sitting. I know. She's not just sitting around saying, take care of me. Everybody serve me. I need it. My felt needs. It's nowhere in her reality. She is not demanding. And she has no, here's the word. Here's the biggest word, okay? This is the struggle for girls in terms of dependency. There is no neediness. She is not needy. She's not freaking out about what life dishes her. I mean that figuratively and literally. She'll eat what's put in front of her face and she moves on with life. She's not needy. Life brings trials, she faces tomorrow. She's good to go. The strong woman isn't a burden. The strong woman doesn't look for accommodation from others to meet peculiar needs. The strong woman isn't considered, isn't freaked out considering outward appearances. The strong woman is not self-absorbed with her feelings and personal welfare. She serves relentlessly and she accepts everything that comes her way. Great example of neediness is the common complaint that you often hear in church settings. I'm just doing it for instance, no one in particular, no one in any recent memory, but it's happened often enough, and I've been a guy in a church and then a deacon and a pastor. I've seen it a million times. No one at church is reaching out to me. The wife's complaint. Then the guy brings it, or the wife emails the pastor, whatever. Like, do you see that? What's wrong with that? What's she worried about? Yeah. No one reached out to you? Go reach out to them. Like, well, guy, well, I put it in my notes. Guys do that one too, by the way. It's very emasculating. I'm like, seriously? But guys do that one too. Other examples, and I already mentioned it, but I do want to mention it in serious. I mentioned it in jest, but books like, such as, for instance, The Five Love Languages, ditch them. You got to stop listening to these books that re-describe how to process biblically and come at everything. Everything is psychological. Everything is feelings-driven and feelings-oriented. I'm not saying there's not a place for that in life, but that's not what is your rudder to make decisions and process situations. Your rudder is the Bible. Your rudder is unflinching womanhood. So, like, I put five longer languages, really? Like, where, that's one I'm picking on only because so many have read it, and it's so pivotal for women. Where did these guys get this love language? And it really influences marriages. That's an example. Books like that influence the marriage because you'll get a complaint. Well, my love language is blah, and his is blah, and we're just not connecting. And you're like, what? That's not in the Bible. Somebody fed you something weird, and you're thinking about you and what your needs are and how he's not meeting them based on some presumption from some other author. I'll tell you what your needs are. We'll go right to 1 Corinthians 7. You know what that passage is. All right, anybody know what I'm talking about? There's certain mandates on a marriage. One of them is sex, lots of it, 1 Corinthians 7. That's what I'm talking about. There's a need. We can bring that up. There's a need to provide for your wife. There's a need for the wife to be this kind of woman. Let's talk about that. Don't get sidetracked by these neediness book discussions, guys. Be very careful. And why are you talking about books with girls? Because they market these Christian books at who? Women. They market them at you. I'm telling you, they market them at you. The Jesus Calling? Bad, not good. Now, if I say any of these titles, and you're like, oh my goodness, I read that, and I liked it, and I gave it to my sister. But I am not condemning you. I am trying to serve you and help you because I love you. I'm not, don't walk out of here and be like, he yelled at me because of five love languages. Just relax. I know plenty of wonderful women who've had that book and have a way different view on it now, but I'm not...
I owned it when we got married.
Okay, I didn't want to say it, but she said it. She owned it when she got married.
I don't even know if I ever read it.
Yeah, it's not our book of choice anymore. And not just because of me, we've talked about it. Tammy came to the conclusion. So, but like Jesus Calling, books like that, that feed on this psychology thing and like the feelings thing. Ladies, Satan knows how to go right at the heart on you. Guys, it's porn. Ladies, it's being cared for. Do you see that? Guys, it's lust and porn. Ladies, it's being, and if you feel cared for and somebody's, they're getting at that emotional thing, it gets you. Felt needs, what the heck are those? That's in my notes. Okay. What's this mean for marriage? What do you think this means for marriage?
If your felt needs aren't being met, that's not grounds for divorce.
Yeah, or grounds for a fight.
Yeah.
Or grounds for a nag, or grounds to bring it up. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean don't communicate. We talk all the time and yes, but like it's not, yeah. Helen said it better.
You hear that all the time, like, I'm just not happy anymore. We don't connect.
Yeah. He doesn't.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
Yeah. He doesn't date me anymore. Like, ask Tammy why we're missing a lot of date nights. I don't know if she'll say it this way, but if you talk to her, it would eventually come out. I'll tell you why. Because this world is on a fast track to hell. And she knows I'm commissioned to be a pastor teacher. And so we give up a lot of date nights to fill our house with souls, to spend time not together while she disciples women and I disciple men. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, at the end of our lives, when we're standing before Christ, she's not going to be counting how many date nights she got from me. Christ is going to ask her what she did with her life. And my job is not to give her date nights. My job is to get her ready for the day when she meets her groom and to have her hear from him, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want for Tammy. My job is to sanctify her, not take her out. And we love going out. And when you guys give us those gifts, thank you. It is a blessing. Because our favorite thing to do probably is just to go get a meal together without the kids. We love the kids. But that's not my job, to date my wife. I dated her. She married me. I didn't trick her. But the dating is done. And I know people use that expression. They mean it in a good way. Plenty of godly guys. I think God, pastors at our church say, date your wife, keep dating your wife. I'm not, yes, keep loving your wife and courting your wife and meeting her emotional needs and all that and showing her affection. What I'm saying is our goal, once we married, our goal isn't to keep courting and dating each other and like tickling each other, making each other feel good about each other. Our job is to become now a dynamic couple that is making explosions into the kingdom of darkness. We are now two where we were first one, now we're two. We have doubled our impact to win souls and to break down the gates of hell. Right? That's a marriage. And I continue to shower her with affection, as I hope she does me. But our goal is heavenward together to fight for the kingdom. Not in an earthly sense, to meet needs that we bring up. Okay, so don't impose neediness on your husband. That kind of worldly dependency is debilitating. It is debilitating. Chris?
I have a question. So in 24, it says she makes the linen garments and sells them. He supplies the belts. So like, would that be, I'm not like trying to pick a side, but like, is that making an argument that the woman would like
work?
Supply income to the family?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never heard anybody make that direct case. They probably might, maybe. You have to also take the context of the culture at the time. So it was definitely more agrarian and buying and selling like right out your back door. So I don't know that implies she actually worked like a full-time career job, like she was a high-powered attorney. So it's a gray area. But yeah, I mean, she's active, and that's one of the things, that fact that Tammy works part-time doesn't bother me as much because there's some goings-on for economic improvement for the house. Yeah, good question. Let me wrap up these thoughts, and we'll close out here. So the well, I have needs is the worst explanation for making a demand in your marriage, and it's very selfish. Well, I have these needs. Don't do that. Let me give you some examples. I need date nights. I already said that, right? Those are good. We'd love to do it. But if you're gospel-minded, date nights is not your first priority with your spouse. We share the cleaning and the cooking and the kids. No, we don't. We don't, because that's her Proverbs 31 job. Mine is to go be the hunter-gatherer, provider, leader. So, we're traditional. I guess that's a gray area if you want to make the case, but I don't see anything other than that in the Bible. We don't share the cleaning, the cooking, and the kids. That's not my job. Like, guys think, like, come home with flowers and vacuum that day, and that's how you serve your wife. No, you don't. And then go watch TV. Shame on you. Let her vacuum, let her clean the house, and then you give her a darn good Bible study. Do you see what I'm saying? Dude, that's boring. No. That's the calling of the man. Let her clean. You're not loving her by bringing her flowers and vacuuming once a month. You are loving her by every day dying over her in prayer, periodically fasting for her soul, and then leading her and the children in Bible study and teaching them to follow Christ. Do you see the difference? That's how you serve your wife. Let her do the cooking and cleaning. It's Proverbs 31. I can't handle things when you're not home. That's a needy woman. Don't bring that into your marriage. Ladies, you got to be able to handle it when the man is out hunter-gathering. You got to be able to handle home base. There's a hardiness to femininity that has been lost in our culture of lavish luxury. Can I say that again? There is a hardiness, a stalwartness to femininity that has been lost in our culture of lavish luxury. Everything's at your fingertips. It's easy. And so we've lost it. And I just want to, what do I mean by this phrase? And I'm going at it because I think it needs to be talked about. Not because I'm trying to pick on anyone. I love you dearly and health is great. But the health food craze and the gluten-free movement, which is now an allergy for everyone apparently. Why am I saying this? That's only a privilege of luxury. That kind of needy femininity is only a privilege of luxury. What do I mean by that, Mary Kay?
Because in like a third world country, people who don't get meals
when they do get a meal, that it doesn't meet their diet restrictions.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Like, through the course of human history, women were worried about, like, the levels of gluten. Like, they were just getting food for their kids. That is a privilege of luxury. And yet we've taught all of our young ladies that if they don't have the perfect nutritional care and the perfect setup with their fitness and food and everything, that they're just destroying their feminine mystique. And you're like, that's not being a girl. That's being super needy, because you're like, can't eat lunch at somebody's house now. like that's luxury, whereas in the rest of the world, and even currently in poverty, women just have to feed their kids. Yeah.
I don't know that it's marketed towards feminine mystique anymore. It's total, your body's degenerating if you don't do this, or
right.
You're just not making wise choices for yourself or your family if you don't do X, Y, and Z, whatever.
Yeah, and it's not just girls. It's pretty much everybody in the culture. But that, it's just, I don't, not to nail that too hard, but it's just such a good example of what I'm trying to talk about. Thank you for the clear answer. Go ahead, Liz.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I feel like there is a middle, though, because you have to use wisdom with what you're feeding your kids. Like, you shouldn't go to McDonald's every day. But you
yes.
shouldn't be psycho about.
No, and that's okay. Where, when you bring up these things.
Because she gathers her food from afar, and like, organic or whatever, if that's where you lean, like, that's not easy to come by. But
yes.
There's extremes, right?
You're absolutely right, Liz. And that's where we talk about some of these more gray things, and I appreciate the clarification. Yeah, no, be wise. It's important to treat your kids in a healthy way and to take care of them and not be a careless mom with that stuff. But we get so caught up. And the reason I asked that question and Mary-Kate hit that answer was because I wanted to explain my sentence when I said the hardiness of femininity, the strength of femininity, the stature of femininity has been lost in luxury, because only in luxury can you develop these felt needs and neediness. Only in luxury can you get 50 books about 5 million different love languages and argue with your husband over which one you are and what your color of personality is. This is all in luxury. You see what I'm saying? You can't do that in the rest of human history when you're poverty stricken and have all these freakouts about the levels of whatever in your food. That I'm trying to paint that picture of that luxurious neediness that, like MK said, it just can't happen when you don't have that kind of lifestyle. Does that make more sense? But good point, Liz. Yeah, Sule?
Can I just read a proverb real quick?
Yeah.
Proverbs 27:7. One who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry even what is bitter tastes sweet.
Read that again, please, and hear it in context, guys.
One who is full loves honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet.
One who is full loathes honey from a comb, which back then is, I mean, that's top food, top exquisite flavor. One who is full loathes honey from the comb. I don't even want the best of the best. But to the hungry, even what is bitter and disgusting tastes what?
Sweet.
Sweet, right. Thank you, Sule. So don't let luxury cause your femininity to weaken so that you're needy about everything and just can't function. MK?
I remember like going to Haiti 2 years in a row and even thinking at the time like Mimi, Fennell's wife, like, and just some of the other women, like, wow, how can they be so strong in their faith and just like blameless with what they have? And now I'm realizing it's because of what they had that they didn't fall into these like fleshly, you know, it's because they had little that they had so much. Like, they didn't, you know, fall into temptations of spending too much time on Instagram and stuff like that because they didn't have it, and, you know, being all picky with their diets because they were given. It's just, it's cool that it's kind of all coming, like, I'm understanding it in a different way than I did.
Amen. Really, thank you for nailing that. That's so right. I hope you guys heard what she said. When we were in Haiti 2 years, we were smitten with this lady, Mimi. It was Fennell's wife. We were all just captivated because she worked night and day to take care of us. And she always looked wonderful and carried herself well. And Mary-Kate's making a great point. Why does she have that character? Because she came out of poverty. Because she didn't have the opportunity to be picayune about all the different ingredients in her food. And she came from poverty. And it built character in her. And it's strange to us because we have the luxury of being so self-absorbed with every one of our little inclinations and preferences. And when you're poor, guys, it'll break your heart. If I keep talking about it, it'll bring tears to my eyes. You see these little poor kids? Oh my goodness, you hear people gripe in this country about the food and the food products and the processing, this or whatever that. And you look at these kids in Haiti, they have nothing. Nothing. You drive through their market and there's filth on top of the fish that they're selling that are probably rotten. Well, how do you know that? I know because I can smell it. Because Billy said the one thing that he can never get out of his head is the smell of burning trash through the entire country. That's what, come on, this stuff that we worry about in our culture and that ladies get absorbed with becomes really irrelevant. They have no clothes. They have no parents. They're washing in filth as you drive through past the little river thing. It's gut-wrenching. That's reality. And that brings femininity back in a real sense and says, wow, that's how to be a serious woman, is to care about the real, more real aspects of life. Thank you, MK. Nailed it. So I often want to tell women in a loving way, woman up or just grow up. Got to be women about it. So yeah, we're out of time. The last thing was the call to sobriety, but that was just about leading a quiet life and minding your own business. And we've talked a million ways about that, that the biggest pitfall to that is social media and that the millennial culture, after we talk about all this stuff, guys being guys and working, and girls being ladies and being tough as ladies, the opposite we see in the culture, and that's the self-absorption. But what honors God is the quietness, is minding your own business, is just putting the head down and plowing forward for the kingdom. And you see that in 1 Peter, which is a verse I was going to reference, but I'll paraphrase it, where he says, what is attractive before the Lord, a woman, her outward adornment, or the meek and quiet spirit? The meek and quiet spirit. So I didn't say social media is bad. I have it. I didn't say get rid of all of it. What I am saying is be very careful, because that feeds the opposite of what we learned tonight, and that feeds the opposite of what we see in the text, which is just mind your own business and serve the kingdom, serve other people. Amen. Any other comments, questions? Cool. Good stuff. Thank you for being such a faithful group, and such a faithful group, such a patient, attentive group, a blessing to my heart. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for this time and the patience of everyone. I hope they were fed tonight. Woo. It was good. It was a marathon. I didn't intend to, but I want to give them the word and I want to equip them, because I know they're getting attacked with these things. And I know a lot of them probably agree with like all this, but they're like, how do I explain it? Or how do I, you know, you get these things in this fast-paced communication culture. How do you debunk an argument or make a case for working or make it a case for the need to not have permanent welfare? How do you make a case for a girl to really just be strong and not be dependent? That's what tonight was, to equip them to practice it in their own lives, but also to put words to it, put teeth to it with biblical verses. Make us, Lord, men like Jesus. He himself worked. Paul worked. These guys will work us. Make us men who are strong to provide for people around us. Make the women strong who aren't self-absorbed and needy, but they're concerned with the welfare of everybody else, because it is the women who take care of those little orphans and gather them up and feed and clothe all the poor of the earth. It's the women that are doing so much and reflecting the love of Christ by loving others. We thank you for this time. Bless our fellowship as we continue in this evening. We give you all the glory. We love you, Jesus. And in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Cool. Good. Thanks, guys. If you want to chat any more about any of that stuff, let me know. And there is a ton of food. Please eat yourselves silly. A lot of food.